Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. My name's Sam Hart, hosting the show today, and I just want to say a massive thank you to our viewers before we get into the racing. 5,000 views on average on these videos since we started doing them. Plenty of likes and comments as well. Do keep liking the video. We almost hit 100 likes last week. Can we do it this week? So easy to do, just get down and give the video a like. We've got 9 races to get through this week, all on ITV. We've got Newmarket and York. Newmarket hosting the Future Champions Festival, so plenty of decent two-year-olds to look at, including City of Troy in the Dewhurst. We'll get onto that in a moment. And I've had plenty of postcast debutants over the last few weeks, and first of all, I'll introduce Matt Rennie, who joins us. Matt, for those who don't know who you are, what you do at the Racing Post, give us a little overview.
Hello, guys. Yeah, I've been a journalist here for 3 years now, so hopefully doing the same as what DJ does in finding wonderful stories and stuff to help with our sport, and hopefully find a few winners as well for this weekend.
Jesus, Matt, never ever aspire to be me anyway. That's your first rule in life.
There we go.
Go for Lee Motterstead or Richie Forrestal or somebody, but do not try and follow me. It won't end well.
DJ, don't put yourself down, mate.
Mr. David Jennings, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. You're a regular over here, and you can give us plenty of insight later on to the Irish two-year-olds, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to seeing City of Troy. He looks the real deal, and by all accounts, from what Aidan is saying, he sounds the real deal. So that'll be the highlight of the weekend, no matter what, because I've been of the opinion for a long time now that Aidan's juveniles are just a bit different this season. So hopefully City of Troy will prove me right.
Yeah, hopefully so. We'll get onto that in just a second. We'll kick off with Newmarket in the first part. We'll do York in the second part, and we'll get any other bets from the gentlemen in the final part of the show. And we start off with the 125 at Newmarket, which is the Emirates Autumn Stakes, the Group 3 contest for the two-year-olds over a mile, where Ancient Wisdom tops the market at 2-1. Arabic Legend is 5-1. Chief Little Rock is 11-2. Orn is 15-2. Per Contra 10-1, Ambient Friendly 11-1, and Starliner is 20-1. Matt, you are the debutant on the show, so you can go first here. Who wins this?
Yeah, well, it's a bit boring, really, but the market speaking for Ancient Wisdom, I don't think you can really oppose him. I know he was beaten last time out, and in a way, Charlie Appleby's season for juveniles, it just hasn't gone the way him or Godolphin would have wanted, and we're at Last Chance Saloon now to find a real start to take on those Coolmore juveniles going into classic contenders next year. I don't think Ancient Wisdom will be a real star of the track, but I think he brings the best form into the race. I thought he ran okay last time out in the Pat Eddery Stakes late in the summer. But if you just look at the form of that race itself, it's red hot, to say the least. Obviously, Rosalian was an impressive winner that day. He's gone on to win the Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère on Arc weekend. Al Moosmak, who was runner-up, went on to finish second in the Royal Lodge Stakes on Cambridgeshire weekend 2 weeks ago. Al Yanabi, who was fourth, won the Somerville Stakes and a live contender for the Dewhurst Stakes. And then even in fifth, you had Dancing Gemini, who absolutely bolted up in a listed contest at Doncaster St. Ledger meeting. So it's really, you know, stepping, it's firm form, and it's probably the best in the race. Charlie seems to use it for juveniles who he thinks will flourish into leading contenders next season. Obviously, Kariba's won this a couple of years ago. Gayath's on the Roll of Honour. And it's a race Godolphin and Charlie Appleby have liked to dominate recently. And I can't see that not happening this time round. And it'll be a welcome winner for the Appleby Yard in their juvenile ranks this term.
Absolutely, yeah. Ancient Wisdom 2-1. Yeah, they haven't had the best of seasons, the Appleby Yard. We all know about that, but kind of get it back on track of Ancient Wisdom 2-1 here. David Jennings, who are you going to be with in the Newmarket opener?
I'm probably with Ancient Wisdom, but I think he's a type of horse, like if he was 7-2, I'd be saying, God, this is a great bet, and I think Ancient Wisdom will win, and I think he should back him. But he's pretty skimpy given what he did last time, like 7-4, you know, 2-1 of the push. Like, he was well beaten, and he was disappointing for all that. Rosalian obviously was very impressed with France next time. I don't know what to make of him, really. I was very impressed second time up at Newmarket, even though he was 1-6. I just like what he did in the last 100 yards. First time out, obviously, he was explosive at Haydock. I don't know what to make of him. I think he is the best horse in the race. Would I be willing to put money on him being the best horse in the race? I wouldn't. Do I think he's value at his current price? No, but I do think he'll win.
Okay, Ancient Wisdom for both the gents in the Newmarket opener. Let's move on to the big group one of the day, the 2 o'clock at Newmarket. It's the 7 furlong Native Trails Dewhurst Stakes. Again, for the two-year-olds, where City of Troy is topping the market currently at 2-1 on. 4-1 about Iberian. Alianabi is currently 10-1. Array is 22-1. You're looking at 25-1 and bigger about the other four in here. Now, David Jennings, a lot of people watching this may be looking to put City of Troy in multiples maybe this week, and he's not a price that you're going to be backing as a single potentially over the weekend. However, I do think people are getting a bit too overexcited about this horse. I'm not saying that he can't be a superstar, but I'm saying that 2-1 on this weekend on ground that Aidan has said earlier on might not be ideal for him is fairly skimpy, where you've got a horse like Iberian who should love the ground. And we mentioned Rosalian earlier, who won the Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère. This horse beat Rosalian at Doncaster, Iberian. I think 4-1, it's a bit like last week with Inspiral and that Marcus de Savigne from France. Although Marcus de Savigne didn't win the race, I thought that was the bet to nothing in the race to finish second. I've got a feeling Iberian will run a big race here and could take down City of Troy. What do we make of it?
I think he could run a big race. I don't think he'll take down City of Troy. Look, with Iberian, I think he's just a good horse. Like, he's a lovely horse. He's a good horse. And it'll be interesting to see what he goes on to produce next season as a three-year-old. But, like, with City of Troy, you're talking about a different type of beast altogether. They've got two standouts. Look, they've got Henry Longfellow and they've got City of Troy. I think Henry Longfellow is a quicker horse than City of Troy. I think Henry Longfellow is probably their Guineas horse and maybe City of Troy is their Derby horse. But, you know, people will probably beg to differ with that. I do like the fact that Henry Longfellow has that instant acceleration. It's like press button like it was in the National Stakes. Where City of Troy, like, I spoke to Aidan on Wednesday for a piece that came out in Thursday's Racing Post, and he said, I said to him, right, Aidan, tell me the truth. What is your gut telling you about City of Troy? Tell me how good he is. Now, I know Aidan does get carried away sometimes in his analysis of these horses and sometimes bigs them up. But straight away, he was like, he's so unusual in that he never gets tired. Like, I've never seen this in a horse before where he actually never gets tired and we've never seen him tired. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was to buy a horse and I wanted him to have one attribute, it would be for him never to get tired, especially when you're an athlete. So it's certainly a good trade to have. I do think he's probably a play in running for in running punters, because I don't think he's going to be hard in the bridle 2 furlongs out. I think he's Ryan is going to be gradually winding him up. And the reason he kicked so early in the Superlative Stakes, as he said in the piece that I did with him in Thursday's paper, was that he was shocked at how long it took him to pull him up after the line in his debut when he won his maiden at the Curragh. He really just kept galloping and wanted to keep going. He's a relentless galloper rather than a quickener. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him. I think he's really good. I think the first two races at Newmarket are non-bet races. I think he's the price he should be. You could argue he should be a little bit shorter. I don't think this is a good Dewhurst at all. In fact, I think probably City of Troy is an exceptional cold running in a terrible Dewhurst. So make of that what you will. Like, what would City of Troy do to Hatem, who beat Iberian and Goodwood? That's the way I'd look at it. I think Alianabi did exceptionally well to win last time in Newmarket. I'd say he's a lovely horse, but he still only produced an RPR of 107. City of Troy got 118 for what he did at Newmarket, and I'd say there's more to come. Look, I just personally think Henry Longfellow and City of Troy are way up there, and the rest of the juveniles, possibly led by Rosalian, are probably down here. So I think he'd win. I think it's a no-bet race. I wouldn't be surprised if Iberian was second, but I think he'd be well beaten.
Okay, that's going to be interesting. I mean, I hope City of Troy is the star, but I think Iberian, I think 4-1's a fair price. I think I look with one bookmaker 6-5 without the favourite. I don't think it's the worst price in the world. I think he's going to run a massive race on the ground. Matt, are you in agreement with me here that Iberian could cause some trouble to the favourite?
I think he could for about half a furlong in the 2 furlongs between the 1.5-2 furlong marker, and then City of Troy, as DJ said, he's going to stretch and go clear. He's miles clear on Racing Post ratings, and he's a standout possible superstar in a pretty weak Dewhurst, to say the least. You know, there are group winners in the race. You know, Indian Run was a nice winner of the Acom at the Ebor meeting, but the form behind him hasn't stacked up. Hartum obviously beat Iberian at Glorious Goodwood. Whether Iberian's progressed more than Hartum since, the form lines will tell you that, because Hartum's been flawed in two starts in group company since. You know, Array won what I thought was the weakest run of the Millreave Stakes in a long, long time. So he's got to produce more on ratings. I do think Iberian's a good horse, but you are left questioning, obviously, with Rosalian doing what he did on Ark Weekend, was it a case of Iberian putting a brilliant performance in the Champagne Stakes fair and square, or was it you're more looking towards Rosalian's disappointed in behind him and towards the beaten runner's excuses? I think he's a lovely horse, and I think there's more to come from him, but I think Aidan O'Brien's just got, he's got a league of their own when it comes to the juveniles this year, and the rest are in the championship compared to Aidan's in the top, at the top of the Premier League, really. We didn't even mention Diego Velasquez as well, who he's got alongside Henry Longfellow. So I think it's going to be an easy group one to pick up for City of Troy and get that top level win on the receive.
Yeah, look, we're all hoping that City of Troy can go and light up Newmarket on Saturday. I'm still thinking that it could be a little bit of a shock with Iberian, so we'll wait and see and find out what happens in the 2 o'clock on Saturday. Moving on to a race where this won't be easy to find the winner at all, the 2:40 at Newmarket, which is the Club Godolphin Cesarewitch Handicap. This is over 2 mile, 2 furlongs, where Pied Piper has been well back. Gordon Elliott but Ryan Moore earlier in the week, 9-2 favourite. Grand Providence and Vino Victrix both 10-1. The Shunter also well backed, 11-1 with James Dore booked on that one. Jesse Evans 14-1. Not so sleepy 16s and 20s bar. Matt, I'll give you the difficult job of going first here. Who wins this year's Cesarewitch?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's latched on to this, you know, Pied Piper plot job, you know, going to go out and win. He's got the great Ryan Moore on him. He has good form in the book. I really do love Grand Providence looking in the form book. I know the Cesarewitch trial actually hasn't been a great source of finding Cesarewitch winners recently, but the one thing she does is she just stays all day. She's, you know, she stays longer than the mother-in-law, and her form since going up to 2 miles reads 1-2-1 in the second. She was really staying on well towards the end. You know, they didn't think she'd sneak into the Cesarewitch originally after she won the trial, but she's got in right at the bottom of the weights at 8 stone 2 pounds. And Hayley Turner's been in really good form recently as well, 24% strike rate in the last fortnight as of Thursday. So I really do like her. And I think, you know, she'll be staying on at the end when others won't be. We know the Cesarewitch can have strung out fields as it does with the marathon contest. But I really do think she's a good thing in the Cesarewitch. And that's hard to say with 34 runners, but she's got a really lovely profile.
Jesus.
Okay. Good thing in the Cesarewitch. The words were said. 10-1, you're a brave man, Matt, coming on the postcast saying a good thing in a Cesarewitch. David Jennings, are you on this Pied Piper hype train?
No, I was interested in listening to Matt there. The one that I liked an Irish horse all right, but I like the Shunter. I have done for some time. I thought, yeah, he's 10 years old, yeah, but like he hasn't that much mileage on the clock. Like if you go through, like he had an awful lot of runs for John Clifford before he went down at Mullins and before he was shrewdly purchased by Paul Byrne. Like I think he's only actually ran maybe, you know, 12 times or something for Emmett or something like that. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. Look, this is what I think. I just have a theory with the Shunter. He is a Cheltenham Festival winner, we know that, okay? But I don't think he's a particularly good jumper. And I think almost there are occasions, like when he was fourth in the Galway Plate to Royal Rendezvous, like he just, I thought that if he jumped a little bit better that day, he would have went really close to winning. He was only beaten 4 lengths. That was off a mark of 152. He came back to run the Galway Plate the previous year off the following year off the same mark, and jumped really poorly again last year. That was last year. He's been quite lightly campaigned since. I thought last year in the November handicap at Nace, he ran an absolute crack. Now, he was backed into 4-1 favourite. Jamie Powell was taken off £5. He was beaten 5.5 lengths that day, dropped the anchor. He was also owned by JP Mattis, won the race. But I just thought he was never really in the position to strike. He was out the back, he was slowly away, and I don't think the race really suited him, whereas I think this is just made for the Shunter. I think 2 miles is probably too short for him, even on the flat. And I think he does need a proper big galloping track where to get racing early. He's going to get all of this here. They're going to get racing early. He's going to get loads of time and loads of room to just get that long stride going. I like the fact that James Doyle has been booked. To me, he's just a horse who has loads of ability when as I've said in the past, I do just think fences have got in the way of him becoming a really, you know, proper graded chaser. As regards to draw, look, Run for Oscar won it from 9 last year. Buzz was in 6 the year before. So there have been single figures have won it for the last 2 years in a row. I know Great White Shark the year before that was drawn high. High Piper's in 22, but Matt's Fancy is in 7, and I'm in 3, so we're hoping the low numbers are going to strike. Look, the value is probably gone. He was 25-1 a couple of days ago. He's into, I think, a high of 11-1 now. I know he's 10, but you can counteract the fact that he's 10 by the fact that he's trained by an absolute master, Emmett Mullins, who I would imagine has had this race in mind for yonks. So I'm going to take a chance in the Shunter just because I think 2 mile 2 at Newmarket is tailor-made for him.
Okay, the Shunter for DJ and Grand Providence.
What do you like, Sam?
What, in this race? Do you know what? I had a look through earlier today and I did look at the Shunter and think, yeah, look, he could be made for this race. And like you say, Emmett Mullins has had this in mind for a long, long time. The one who is going to get support, and I just love this horse, and you know who I'm probably going to say, DJ, is 25-1 currently. I'm actually going to the yard on Saturday, is Gary Moore's Goshen. Now, I'm not saying that this horse, I mean, he's drawn in one, he's drawn lone as well, but if this rain were to come, if it were to come and it was to go off soft, he's not a 25-1 shot. You know he's going to go out in front, and you know that he could surprise a few and just stay there. Whether he's got the ability after such a long layoff, like he hasn't run, we'd expect him to have kind of a flat handicap campaign. He hasn't had that this season. However, he is very talented on his day. We all know this. And 25-1, if it gets soft, I'll be having a bet if it's soft that day. And 25-1, that'll be the one for me.
Actually, of course he could win. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not even rubbish in the selection. He's rated 88.
Yeah.
He's got a massive chance if he's any way close to the Goshen we used to know and love. But me and Goshen parted company a long, long time ago, and he hasn't sweet-talked me back yet.
He hasn't got to jump anything either. That's probably the handy thing for me here. So if it goes soft, 25-1, Goshen, I'll be taking that horse. But I do think, even though he's 10 years old, I think DJ's right. The Shunter is a massive danger. Let's move on then to the 3:15, which is another two-year-old race. It's the Gaiaf Zetland Stakes over 10 furlongs. This is a Group 3 contest where Arabian Crown is the 6-5 favourite. Gaspar de Lemos, I believe, he's a Portuguese explorer, is 7-2. Dambuster, 5-1. Meribella is 13-2. And Dallas Star is 18-1. I'll tell you what, DJ, if G-Rob was on this week, he'd have an absolute nightmare with all of these race names at Newmarket basically being named after previous horses for Godolphin. But Godolphin have the favourite in here at 6-5. We're Arabian Crown. Charlie Appy hoping for a good day at Newmarket on Saturday. Is this a good favourite?
Yeah, this wins now. This wins. This is value at odds against, I think. He should be unbeaten. Lord, he should be unbeaten. Yeah. Anybody that watched his debut run at Sandown, like, I know it was only his first run and it might have been a blessing in disguise he was beaten because he could run in the maiden over the same course and distance next time. But I'd say after that race, anybody that backed him was going, William, if you got a little bit animated a little bit sooner, you would have won that race. And he obliged next time, obviously, at Sandown. I have to say, last time at Salisbury, I thought he took a big jump forward. He took a 16-pound jump forward, according to our RPR ratings, from 88 to winning that maiden at Sandown to 104 for winning that Stonehenge Stakes. I thought it was a good race, too. I think Arabic Legend is a solid type of horse. Son was in there for Richard Hannon. It looked a perfectly respectable renewal of that listed race. And he won it. I thought he was valued for even more than the winning margin, 2.25 lengths. He won it 3 furlongs out, and he was only Dawson in front. I think he's a very good horse, and I wouldn't even suggest that if you're getting 6-5, I'd suggest you should take that. I think he should be odds on.
Okay, Arabian Crown 6-5, a good favourite in the 3:15, according to DJ. Matt, you in agreement there?
Yeah, wholeheartedly. Really, it's interesting. You don't really know which Charlie's. Is the better juvenile on the card, really. He's splitting them up. It's interesting to see, obviously, the form lines will be tying in together on the card as well. You know, if Arabic Legend goes and wins the Autumn Stakes or runs really, really well, then you can see the price of Arabian Crown contracted even more than it is at the moment. But I'm in agreement. I think, yeah, debut-wise, you could almost say he should be 3 from 3. And last time out, he put real authority between his rivals in a listed contest, which is usually a good marker as well. I did like Gaspar de Lemos' win last time out. I just thought he looked still a bit inexperienced, and he has got quite a speedy pedigree. I think he's related to a 6 furlong winner, so it'd be interesting to see if he gets this trip. You know, 1 mile 2 furlongs for the juveniles. It's unique in its own way, but I think this is one to go into the red.
That Gaspar de Lemos is interesting because he's a brother to Dame Keary, who won over 6, and he's a son of Justify. And it just looked looked last time at the Curragh as though like he wanted 3 miles. It was over seven that day. Like his pedigree suggests that he doesn't want a mile and two necessarily, but he just looked, the further he went, the better he looked. It looked to me like he looked slow and a proper galloper. I just think Arabian Crown is a bit more class than him.
Okay, Arabian yeah. Crown for both the gents. Then in the 3:15, let's move on nice and sharply to the final race we look at Newmarket on the preview, which is the 3:50, the Earthlight Darley Stakes over 9 furlongs. A Group 3 contest here where Knight tops the market at 7-2, Highland Avenue 11-2, Real Gain is 7-1, Dubai Future and Spirit Dancer 8, 11-1 about Silver Sword, and bigger about the other four in here. Matt, you to go first on this one. Who are you going to be with?
Yeah, and there actually is a horse I love in this race, and I think he's not appreciated as much as he should be, and that's Spirit Dancer. You know, I'm seeing a little bit of 13-2 about him around at these times. I think that's a really, really good price given what he's done on his last three starts. He's been a revelation, really. He won impressively, as you'd like, in York in late July in a handicap company, and he coasted clear that day. Followed up in the Racing League, and I thought he won the Strenzel Stakes really on merit last time. I know Nostrum subsequently was tailed off and was found to be injured, but he was he was really hard to pass and really impressive. And I know the Fahy Yard really do like him. They're aiming him at the Bahrain International Trophy next month, so this will be another sort of stepping stone on the way there. And in what looks a really winnable Group 3, I know Knight heads the market. He's a good horse, as we saw winning a Group 3 last season, but he just looks a little bit tough to win with for me. Whereas Spirit Dancer still rapidly improving despite being a 6-year-old now. I thought last time was brilliant. The second flight plan came out and boosted the form really handsomely by winning a Group 3 on Irish Champions weekend. And even his defeat in the John Smith Cup, and he wasn't beaten that far when he was 8th, but in front of him was Astro King, who's went and won the Cambridgeshire. Scampi was just in front of him, and he went and won at the Shergar Cup. So even that's his strong handicap form. And he's translated that into Group 3 company already. And I really do think he's a huge price on his form and the upward trajectory he's showing at the moment.
Okay, Spirit Dancer, 4 on the bounce, going for 4 on the bounce for Matt at 8-1. David Jennings, who do you like in the last race we previewed at Newmarket?
Oh, no, I'm going the other way. I'm going with Highland Avenue. I think there's a couple of things here. I think he's going, like, his form actually with Cutting the Ground is reasonably solid. Like, when he was, I thought his best performance for quite a while was that third to Adyar at the start of the season. Now, I know Adyar obviously didn't turn out to be the Adyar we all know and love, but I thought Adyar was good and was close to what we used to love about Adyar when he won the Gordon Richard Stakes. Like, the second that day was Amnat, who went on to win the Prix d'Espagne over in France next time. So the form of that race looked strong. Like, Regal Reality was beating a car ride in fourth that day. I thought Highland Avenue ran really well. I think this is his track. A mile and one is his trip, and he's going to get his ground. And he's had a lovely little break of 84 days as well. If you go through his form, like, that day when he ran against Adyar, he was on the back of a 428-day absence. I just wonder now, the fact that he has been freshened up and gets his conditions, I think he could be hard to beat. He's one of them horses. He's an early horse. He obviously hasn't lived up to early expectations for the Appleby team at all. But I think a race like this, a Group 3 at a track he loves, I think he'll probably be good enough.
Okay, Highland Avenue for DJ in the final race we look at from Newmarket. The Racing Postcast is now sponsored by Racing Post Members Club. And if you want an excellent offer for Racing Post Members Club, then check this out. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Sam Hart, David Jennings and Matt Rennie taking you through Saturday's action from Newmarket and York. As you saw from that advert, Racing Post Members Club, 50% off. The link is down in the description using the code WELCOME2023. On to York now, gentlemen. We start off with the 1:15 there, which is the Coral Rockingham Stakes, a listed contest over 6 furlongs. Another race for the 2-year-olds, where Purasongwe is 7-2 favourite here for the Balding Yard. Elmon Jed is 5-1 along with Starlaw. Esquire is 15-2. Serried Ranks is 15-2. 8-1 about Sketch. And double figures, the rest of them. David Jennings, who wins this 2-year-old contest?
I'm going to chance Sketch, who has been disappointing. I thought first time out when he beat Government Call so impressively, he could potentially be a star. And if you remember, like, he went to the Richmond Stakes at Goodwood, and it turned into a big match because there's so many non-runners. Turned into a big match between Van Dijk and Sketch, and obviously it didn't turn into a match at all because it was a rout, and Van Dijk absolutely bolted up. Then he came back to York over five and was beaten by Inquisitively, and he was behind the horse that you pronounce beautifully that I can't pronounce. What's the favourite called?
Purisongwe, I'm going with.
Purisongwe, yeah. He was a short head behind Purisongwe that day. But I just think there's too much between them in the market here. Like, you know, Sketch is... If you're getting 8-1 about Sketch, I think that's decent value. Like, I know he was well beaten in the Middle Park last time, and, you know, it's not that long ago, obviously. But I just think with Sketch, he probably did too much too soon there. Like, if you look at the way the race transpired, Van Dijk held up, Task Force held up. It played into the hands of those that were ridden more patiently than Sketch was. I think they'll hold on to him for a little bit longer here. Kieran Schumacher rides for the first time, big fan. And at the prices, I think if you're getting 8-1 about Sketch, I think there's a little bit of each way value there.
Okay, Sketch 8-1 for David Jennings. Matt, who are you with in the York opener?
Yeah, it's a listed race that tends to go to a juvenile that's been, you know, running in and out throughout the season, but I'm going to take a chance on a less exposed one in serried ranks. There is rain forecast at York on Friday and then a little on Saturday, so it's going to be that sticky, tacky, autumnal ground that we're usually used to. And I just think serried ranks bring some really good form into the race. You know, Rafe Beckett has been flying all season and he's still in strong form. And he won a nursery at Goodwood last time out in really authoritative fashion from stablemate Starlust, who went and won the Group 3 Serenia Stakes and finished fifth in the Middle Park Stakes, which isn't bad form bringing to the table. I know Starlust was well beaten in the Middle Park in the end, but he ran well for long enough. And I think just with the form Rafe's in at the moment, it'd be rude not to keep his runners on side at the moment. I know Purisongwe sets the standard, but he's become a bit of a source of frustration with all those twos across his name, and it's a bit more exposed than most. So I'm happy to take a chance in a really open list of contests. It's really competitive for its level.
Okay, Royal winner for Matt in the opener at York. We've skipped the nursery handicap and moved straight on to the 225 at York now, which is a 6-furlong sprint handicap. It's the Coral Sprint Trophy handicap, Class 2 event, and we thought finding the Cesarich winner was easy. This is just as easy, I suppose. Significantly is the 5-1 favourite. Alba Shear is 6-1. Wob 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 is 10-1. Apollo 1, 11-1. Montasib and Pendleton 12-1. 16's Bar. Matt, you had a good thing in the Cesarich. Have you got a good thing in the Sprint Trophy handicap at York?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's as good, but you just can't still get away from Significantly. He's been in the form of his life really recently with that second in the Portland handicap and then a masterful ride in the end from Joe Fanning to get him through the gaps into winning the Air Gold Cup. I mean, he'd have won it by far more further if Significantly had a clear run throughout, and he was put up £4 by the handicapper. That's been offset a bit by Ryan Sexton, who's a really good apprentice jockey, taking three off. I think he's just in the form of his life, and stick to what we know. He's got good form and passed on testing ground as well. I mean, he was a heavy ground Royal Ascot winner in 2020-21 when he won the Palace of Holyrood House for Carl Burke, and I just think he's in really, really good form. Albershire obviously won, well, dead heated with Summergand at the Ebor meeting, and I don't think it'd be really dangerous, especially to ignore Summergand. I think we've all learnt now by how long he's been racing that we all seem to forget about him, and then all of a sudden he'll pop up and win another Heritage handicap. And he loves York, Summergand does, so does Alba Shear. But I was a bit concerned last time. He ran well enough in the Air Gold Cup, but Holly Doyle said afterwards that he was outpaced. And you don't really want that in a handicap like this, because he'll have to be coming from the back and hoping for all the luck you can get. And it's just a bit risky, and I just think Significantly's got a really lovely profile to pick up another big race win.
Okay, a big race win for the Julie Camacho yard and a big sprint on Saturday. They'll be hoping to do the same next Saturday as well with Shaquille in the Champion Sprint Stakes at Ascot. David Jennings, go on, find us the Sprint Trophy handicap winner.
So you know what I'm going to tip. It's just a case of clear run, win, simple as that, Al Bashir. Look, Holly said that he was outpaced last time. I think Holly was probably, I'd say, gutted, to be honest with you, because, like, you stopped the race at... Imagine if you were to stop the race or we don't tape things anymore. We record things. If we pause the recording, you know, 3 furlongs out, just say, even 2.5 furlongs out, and you're told that Al Bashir gets within 3/4 of a length of significantly. Now, I know significantly was stopped in his run as well, but like, it was, you would say Al Bashir might finish last, but might be 2 or 3 home. And he just absolutely took off, away from all the action. Like, he was completely away from the action. You see where he finished up in the Air Gold Cup compared to where the first three finished. He was completely away from the action. I thought it was a hell of a performance. I think every time this horse has been beaten on his last 4 or 5 starts has been a legitimate excuse. But the problem with Al Bashir is there's always going to be excuses, because that's the type of horse he is. He doesn't break particularly well. He's always going to have more in front of him than behind him in the early part of races. And, you know, he needs so much to go right. But he's off a mark of 100 here. He's £4 better off with significantly. I think York is going to be fine for him. I know, obviously, he did get outpaced the last day, but he's a course and distance winner from that Heritage Handicap back at the end of August. He's £5 higher now, but I think he's a horse that's starting to really, you know, fulfill his potential as a sprinter. I think he's a good horse, and I think if the gap's open, I think he'll win. I think he's one of the best bets on the day.
Okay, Al Bashir, 6-1. I have to go watch the tape back of that last race, DJ. Let's move on to the 305, which is the 1 mile Coral Racing Club EBF Maiden Stakes. This is part of the new Kipco British Champion Series 2-year-old races, where Align the Stars is the 130 favourite, along with Colorado Dancer. Assailant is 9-2, Winston's Tipple is 17-2, Wonder Kid is 9-1, Double Figures Bar. Probably not a race that we want to spend too long on here, DJ, but do you have a winner?
What the hell is this doing on telly? That's what I want to know. Yeah, sure, look, a lot of them haven't ran, and it's going to be interesting. The one that I was, like, sure, look, who knows, like, what the newcomers are like, and Align the Stars obviously got solid form. Colorado Dancer is what he is, rated 78. But the one that interests me a little bit was Wonder Kid for Hugo Palmer. He's a son of Bilardo, and he's a half-brother to that Bavardage, who turned out to be a decent enough horse. I think he went into the 80s in ratings. But, like, his sale price jumped from 10,000 as a foal to 125,000 guineas as a yearling. I just always find Hugo Palmer's newcomers fascinating this time of year for some reason. I don't even know if there's any truth in that, but there's just something in the back of my mind that suggests to me that Wonder Kid potentially could make a winning debut. But look, I have no idea. We're completely guessing with the newcomers here. Assailant could be very good. Who knows? But I would chance Wonder Kid, but absolutely no conviction whatsoever, Sam.
A very tentative selection from DJ there. Wonder Kid 9-1 for the Hugo Palmer Yard. Matt, again, not a race you want to spend too long on. Who did you like in here?
Yeah, it's not a heat you'd expect to be on ITV on a Saturday, but, you know, it's guessing work with so many debutants in this race. You know, Assailant is related to a couple of nice winners, 900,000 guineas as a yearling as well, hefty price tag, so one to keep an eye on as an eye catcher maybe, but I wouldn't be opposing Align the Stars. You know, 2 starts, he's done really well. One, and last time I was runner up in a similar contest, it was one of those Kipco British Champion Series 2-year-old race at Goodwood. It was over 1 mile, 2 furlongs, and I think his future will lie over that trip, because he wasn't weakening at the end of his last race. He was staying on quite well and showed a really good street rise attitude. And it looks like Charlie Johnson's found a really good opportunity to get his win on the way. You know, it's a mile that might be against him in time, but this looks like a winnable enough contest to scoop on the way to stepping back up in trip.
Okay, Align the Stars for Matt. The 3:35 is the final race that we preview on this week's postcast. It's the 10 furlong Coral Racing Bet Bundles Handicap, another Class 2 event where Believe in Stars is the 11-4 favourite. Layakel 7-2, then a bit of a jump to Scampi at 9-1. Alto 12-1. Certain Lad 12-1. Oblix is 12-1 and 14s and bigger the rest. Worth having a look here on Racing Post Members Club. All the access that you can get here, you can get all of the past winners, all of the tipsters' verdicts, and you can get all of the reports and all the runners. Definitely get involved with Racing Post Members Club. It's well worth the offer. And looking at the past winners of this race, it's been a very, very good race in the last few years. Algiers won this last year. Bay Bridge won it the previous year. Who wins it this year, Matt?
Yeah, it's a fantastic race, and it was, you know, it shocked you a little bit seeing some of the stars that have won it. And I do think there's another group performer possibly lurking in the race in La Yaquel. I know he's four, but we really haven't got to the bottom of him yet. You know, two of his three wins have also come on good soft ground or slower. It's going to be it will be testing enough there on Saturday. He was good fourth in the Old Rowley Cup last year, so he has strong form in handicap levels, in big race handicaps already. And I thought it was really nice performance in a race last time at Doncaster, which wouldn't have really been ran to suit. He strikes me as a similar performer that William Haggas had for the same owners a few years ago in Garcia, who won at York as well. And he stepped up towards group level in the end. And he strikes me in that similar mould. And I think maybe £4 rise for his win last time is lenient. And, you know, he could be a really dark horse to keep on tabs for not only for the rest of this season, but next season as well.
Okay, La Yaquel 7-2 for the Haggas Yard. David Jennings, is there a group horse lurking in here?
Yeah, well, either Matt's going to have a good day or I'm going to have a good day. It's one or the other, because we're taking each other on in plenty of these races. I think Believe in Stars is a pretty good horse. Look, the way I look at this is a horse that he beat at Goodwood last time of George Bowie's called King Lear, who bombed out last time, but you can completely forget about that because he finished lame and... he wasn't right at all. I think King Lear is a very good horse, and Believe in Stars beat him at Goodwood, despite the fact that Richard Kingscote only hit him once, and it was at a time when Sir Michael Sepp was having very few winners. They pulled, you know, a long way clear of the third horse, who, fair enough, has been beaten twice since and is middling enough, but they really quickened. Like, they properly quickened from the two-pole. It was a proper race. I could not believe King Lear was beaten that day. I have to say, I was shocked, because King Lear won at Nottingham on a second start, and I thought it was a hell of a performance. And I said, if this horse gets a mark in the 90s, he's going to be an absolute good thing in a handicap when he steps into handicap company. That was a novice race. It was another chance for him to fulfil his potential. And he was beaten fair and square that day by Believe in Stars. I think Believe in Stars is a very good horse. He's a brother to Rosa Kildare, who obviously showed plenty of good form as well. It looks a match. I'd be surprised if it didn't develop into a match. It's one of these races where both of these, La Yaquel and Believe in Stars, have so much potential. And the rest of them are kind of exposed, but they're decent exposed handicappers. These are two horses raised in the 90s, who you would imagine this time next season will definitely have three-figure ratings. To me, Believe in Stars is going to end up being a group race performer. And... I'd be a bit disappointed if he's beaten, to be honest with you, Sam.
Yeah, I'm in complete full agreement, DJ, and I'll be talking about him in just a second, I'd imagine. Before we get into the final part, we've got a free bets offer for you to get stuck into. Have a look at this.
Do you want over £500 in free bets? Well, the best free bet offers are now all in one place. Head to racingpost.com/freebets, where you can find all the offers from your favourite bookmakers. Click the link in the description to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Sam Hart, David Jennings and Matt Rennie. We've taken you through the action on ITV, but it's time to get the gents' other bets elsewhere over the weekend. The Jumps does return. We've got Chepstow returning on Friday and Saturday. And David Jennings, I'm sure you're going to have a few selections from Chepstow.
Yeah, looking forward to Chep, so it's always great. Now, they were filming this on Thursday, and really looking forward to the Persian War on Friday. So it's a real sign, I suppose, for you guys, it's a sign that the Jumps is coming back. For us, it was maybe the other day when Manila Indo won, but yeah, looking forward to it. One that I like, and I have done since the 5 days come out, the Silver Trophy at 4:15 at Chepstow. I like Blow Your Wad for Tom Lacey and Stan Shepherd. Bit of an in and out type of character. I thought last season he was going to really progress, but they probably pitched him in at the deep end too early when he ran in the Talwart behind Chimuris. He was so keen there and really just bottomed him out a little bit. He had a wind operation afterwards, and I was quite impressed with him when he won at Newbury. Like, he beat a decent enough yardstick of Gary Moores that day in an Eston and beat him fair and square. I thought it was a good performance, and he starts to see, like, they pitched him into a grade one then again at Aintree next time behind Irish Point. And, you know, he was beaten 24 lengths in the end, but I actually thought turning into the home straight, he was gradually getting into it. He was just outclassed. He's running off a mark of 132 here. He's only a 5-year-old. I think there could be a decent season in Blow Your Wad. I think he will make a nice chaser in time. And off a mark of 132, to me, he's a horse who should be a bit better than that mark. I think the long home straight at Chepstow is going to suit him, just like it did at Newbury. He's around about an 8-1 shot. I think there's a bit of value in that, Blow Your Wad. And just one other one at Chepstow for me as well, Sam, in the 230, which is a handicap chase over just shy of 3 miles. A really interesting race. You've got plenty of kind of horses in here that, you know, I'm sure we've all backed at some stages over the last couple of years. But one that I was gonna chance was Switch Hitter for Paul Nicholls, and Bryony Frost is riding Switch Hitter. The last time we saw Switch Hitter won at Wincanton back in February. Hasn't ran since. That was off a mark of 133, only £4 higher now. Just thought was quite unexposed over fences, only had 6 starts. Thought there was more scope for improvement off a mark of 137. So the two for me at Chepstow on Saturday will be Switch Hitter in the 230 and even more so in the 415 Blow Your Water.
There you go, a couple of selections from DJ at Chepstow on Saturday. Matt, you've got some from Chepstow as well.
Yeah, just the one, and impressively me and DJ have managed to avoid clashing in any of the two races. I've gone for one in the 450, the 4-year-old hurdle limited handicap, and he was a horse that went to my tracker last year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him out again. It's Affadil for Paul Nicholls to be ridden by Harry Cobden. He was a good enough juvenile last year. He won the listed triumph hurdle trial at Musselburgh in really good fashion, and then he faced the race against time to get qualified for the Boodles, as it is now, at Cheltenham, and completely blew out at Haydock, but he needed to run to get into the race. And I thought he shaped really well in the Boodles. He's only beaten 5.5 lengths in the end. And they did really well to get him back to winning at the end of the season after, you know, a disrupted campaign, second half of the campaign, and winning really well at Ayr. He's obviously not going to be champion hurdle class this season. And with a 4-year-old hurdler going out into open company, Paul Nicholls, he's going to have to box clever with him. And I think he's found a really good winning opportunity to start the season with here. He's had a wind operation over the summer, and his previous two wins when starting out for Paul Nicholls came after a wind surgery. And I think it's a really nice opportunity, and I wouldn't be surprised if he shapes into a horse for races in the top end of the handicaps, like the Greatwood Hurdle maybe in November could be on his radar as well. So it'd be interesting to see how he shapes. Paul Nicholls, he's used this to bring back some of his better 4-year-olds that turn into nice horses. Diego de Charmy's won this before, so too did Grand Sonsi and Time White as well. And I think he's in a similar mould to them and can make a winning return.
That's Affadil in the 450 at Chepstow on Saturday. Now, it is nap time. Best bets of the weekend. I'll tell you what, I'll kick things off this weekend. I mentioned after the 3:35 at York that we previewed that I mentioned Believe in Stars again. I'm going to do so and nap him up at York
that
race.
So was I.
Don't say we're going to clash here. We can clash. There's no issue.
Grant, I'll pick something else.
I completely agree with what you said, DJ, by the fact this horse won, I think, a little bit easier than it actually looked at Goodwood last time out. That was in a novice stakes event. I think this horse is going to improve for that run. I mean, that run was only back at the start of September. Things have improved massively for that run. I do think this is going to be a bit of a star for Sir Michael Stout. I think we could see this horse definitely in group company next season as an older horse. I'm very, very excited by him. I think the mark of 94 is very, very lenient. I think he could be top class and make a bit of a mockery about it. I do think it'll be a versus match between Leia Kell and him, but I think he'll come out on top, and Sir Michael Stout will have a big winner on Saturday. Go on then, DJ. You were going to nap Believe in Stars, so we all had some extra confidence to that, but have you got another one?
Yeah, I just think with Believe in Stars, if there's, you know, one of those... We always look for that Sir Michael Stout handicapper that could potentially be another Baybridge, and, you know, he's a long way to go, but maybe that's him. I really do think Blow Your Wad has got a massive chance in the Silver Trophy at Chepstow. He's run off 132. Even the fact that he started favoured, I think, for his debut. I think they've always thought he was a really smart horse. I think he has a bit of growing up to do, and I think this year he might become a man. So, Blow Your Wad in the 4:15 to Silver Trophy. I think he's 8-1 at the moment. Hopefully he might get double figures on the big day.
That's fine. So we've got an 11-4 selection with Believe in Stars. We've got an 8-1 selection with Blow Your Wad. Matt, you're there to complete the treble, Trixie, whatever you want to do with them.
Yeah, I'm going to go at Newmarket, and it's not going to be the Cesarich, unfortunately, because it's almost an unwritten rule that you can't nap in a 34-runner race. And I'm going for Spirit Dancer in the Darley Stakes. You know, I do think he's completely underestimated on the form he's shown in his last 3 starts, and he's still on a real upward curve. I know he's got to give £7 away to the three-year-old in Knight and Real Gain, and has a £3 penalty against Highland Avenue for his Group 3 win last time. But it's simply the best form, the best improving form on offer in the contest. And he's really highly thought of, and they think they've got him worked out now. And I think he can take this with aplomb for hopefully going out into the Middle East in Bahrain and bringing back some lucrative prize money back to Yorkshire for the Fahey Yard. So Spirit Dance for me, I think he's a good thing in a winnable Group 3.
There we go. Okay, despite having a good thing in the Cesarich at 10-1 with Grand Providence, he's gone with Spirit Dancer in the 3.50, the Darley Stakes at Newmarket. And that is it for this week's show. Just quickly, Matt, what are you up to this weekend? Any big plans?
Reporting from York on Saturday, so looking forward to it. Obviously, final meeting of the year at York's always a sad occasion, because it's now time for the icy roads to come into play in the north here. But off there on Saturday, it should be good fun, and then that does it for me. Hopefully watching a bit of sport as well, and enjoying the Rugby World Cup. A big weekend of sport coming up.
Certainly is. Okay, Matt's off to York. DJ, what are the plans this weekend for yourself?
I'm working in Nace both days, looking forward to rugby on Saturday night. And if anybody is listening or watching and knows how to get children to sleep at night, that would be great, because we are getting no sleep whatsoever. We have a one-year-old and a three-year-old, and they're actually taking in turns at the moment, so it's like a relay race. So one sleeps for an hour, then cries, then the other one sleeps for an hour and cries. So it's literally a tag team. So yeah, I haven't slept in about 2 weeks, but as you can probably see from my tipping. But yeah, hopefully, if I'd one wish for this weekend, it wouldn't be that Blow Your Wad wins the silver trophy. It would be that two of my children sleep at night.
There you go. If any of our viewers know how to get children to sleep, whack it down in the comments and I'll get DJ to read through a few of them. I'm heading off to Gary Moore's Yard on Saturday. I'm looking forward to that. And then I'm going to be at Goodwood on Sunday for their final meeting of the season, where you'll also see the professional jumps jockeys handicap at the start of their card over 2 mile. That's always a fun race to watch. So looking forward to that. And we will be back next week. It'll be myself, Graham Robway and Tom Park previewing British Champions Day from Ascot. I'm sure Tom Park will also want to be talking about the big jump off, which comes the following week. So exciting times for those National Hunt fans. If you are enjoying the show, do like, do subscribe, get your comments in down below. And if you are having a bet, do gamble responsibly. Thanks for watching.